I have such a heart for franchisees that if I can find 1% somewhere and take it and bring it to their bottom line, I'm super happy. So the whole goal that I have is to reduce friction for franchisees so that they can concentrate on going and doing the core of their business to put more money in that bottom line and help achieve the dreams that franchising can bring.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Today, we are welcoming in a unique group of franchises here to talk about their different brands and their platform company. All of these brands are really focused on being a caring partner in a family's journey towards a healthier, happier life, and helping the families thrive no matter what life throws at them. That's our brands that we're going to talk about, our guests that we're going to talk about today. Now let's touch on who we are. Again, Fran Coach is a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals like yourself interested in owning a franchise. We are partnered with over 600 of the top brands in the country, spanning nearly 70 industries. Our number one goal is to help you get properly educated on franchise ownership to determine if this is the path for you. And if so, what is the absolute best franchise for you to own? All right. So that is a bit about us. Now let's get to our guest today. And today is we are talking to the CEO of eVive Brands, Mr. Ryan Parsons. Ryan, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
We are excited to talk about eVive and the brands within there, but franchising, as I always say, is a people business. So I really like to get to know the people that come on our wonderful show today. So that, you know, the seven people that listen all the time can can get to know this. But Ryan, tell us a little bit about you, number one, and then kind of your journey into this crazy thing that is franchising.
Awesome. Happy to. I actually have a crazy journey because I have experienced all aspects of owning and building a business from scratch and franchising. So I actually joined my brother in 2002. He had a gutter business and it was him by himself with a rotating helper, right? And so I was working as a .com, .bomb graphic designer right around 2002. And as they were going out of business, I found myself working weekends on a gutter truck. And when they completely went out of business, me and my brother on a gutter truck and no aspiration to build anything cool. His mission statement was, hey, if we finish work early, we can go fishing, right? So we're not talking about, you know, the traditional business sense or something that was like really thought out, but it evolved. And as I got more involved, I applied my skills, my graphic design, some of the systems that I am innately like to do. And we started to build a local gutter company. And then we had some success there. And I'll spare you all the gory details, but we did make it through a recession and all sorts of stuff. And then in 2007, you know, my brother, he's kind of like the crazy big visionary. I'm like a little bit more practical I'll think in like a year or two. And now I'm a little bit different. But at the time, and he's like, we're going to franchise this thing. It's going to go national. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's a ridiculous thing to say. But, you know, I was like, all right, well, if we're going to franchise it, we need to fix or do or systematize all these things. And then so from 2007 to 10, we systematized the business. In 2010, we launched two pilot locations, realized half the things that we thought would work across the country didn't. And we had to tweak and make a few adjustments to make it even better. And it was 2015 that we actually franchised the brothers that just do gutters, which you see in the eVive platform. So that was my brother and I, the brothers that just do gutters. So we know what it's like to build it from scratch. We know what it's like to not have the systems in place and put a couple people in business and then have to make it so that you can support them. And we realized we weren't ready. A lot of franchisors sell a bunch of franchises and then say, oh crap, we got to figure out what we're doing. We were able to get ahead of that. So by the time we actually franchised, We had all the infrastructure. We had a call center, marketing, and then we started to sell franchises. And then around 2021, we hit a ridiculous stride, sold a ton of them. We were like the coolest kid in franchising for maybe 12 months. And it was great. And we were able to see kind of our dream come true. And we decided that we built this thing in such a great way that we wanted to take on another partner to get it to the next level. And that's when we got introduced to Riverside, which is private equity. And we shared our dreams and aspirations of where we want to take this thing. And it aligned very well with them. And what was really cool is I'm still a young guy. I'm like, I'm not done just because we're making this move. I want to work with franchisors. I have so much in me that I want to do. And they offered me the position of CEO of eVive Brand. So it was really cool that I got to not only build a company, build a franchise, support it, get it to over 100, 120 franchisees. And now I get to be part of a bigger platform working with other brands, franchisors, and even looking to acquire other brands to make this really cool platform called eVive Brands. So hopefully that was a good running start.
That's awesome. And I love the dumb luck nature of how most everyone gets into franchising, right? It's just like, it's whether it's people that work in the industry, franchisors, are all franchise owners, it's just, it's almost always random. And here you are 20 years later. So yep. Be crazy, right?
We like to joke it only takes 20 years to become an overnight success.
That's pretty fast in the overnight success world. So, excellent. And hopefully, most importantly, is your brother getting some fishing in?
He's getting fishing in. He actually bought a house on Smith Mountain Lake, so he can fish whenever he wants.
Awesome. Very nice. So cool. So now we go from brothers that just do gutters. And also a fun fact about franchising, we really ain't too smart. So it's usually somewhat obvious what a franchise does. Brothers that just do gutters, something gutter related. But within eVive, that's the one that doesn't look like the other one. Talk about just kind of really high level what the other brands are within eVive.
Cool. They're all like the senior care sector. And so we've got executive home care, which is non-medical in-home care, which is awesome. You're placing people in the home to take care of your mom or dad or whoever needs some help. And then we have assisted living locators, again, in the senior space. So if somebody can no longer live at home and they need assistance, they're going to help place that person in the best facility based on their needs. A really awesome process and business. And then we have Grayson's estate liquidation and business liquidation. So when it's time to sell that home or the estate or somebody dies and you want to, you know, get rid of or sell all the contents, they're unbelievable at doing that for those families. So yeah, we have three in the senior care. Brothers was added last. So the whole concept of the platform is to be able to take care of people from the time they purchase a home till the time they leave their home. So the goal is not to stay four brands, but to add more service brands, more senior care, so that it, you know, if we talk in a year or two, you know, we might have 12, 14, 15 brands that can all complete this for our end users.
Now, tell us that you use the term kind of a platform, right? So, because there's platform and then there's kind of parent companies. So just kind of like maybe kind of define that. How does a platform, if you're owner of one of these franchises, you're actually getting benefits because of all of them and the platform. Talk a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, so that was really important for my brother and I. When we were looking to find a partner, we didn't just want to go with a private equity company that gave us the best number. We wanted to be part of a portfolio and a platform because one, cross-branding, right? So these three similar in the senior care, they have a lot of opportunity to pass client referrals back and forth. They also get to leverage the infrastructure of eVive. We can have a centralized marketing team, call center, technology stack. So it's going to provide a lot of efficiencies to the franchisors and the franchisees. So buying power, national contracts, it's just unbelievable. Business development, franchise coaching. So you get to take the best practices of now three or four brands, find the best practices, kind of level set and say, hey, that's working great over here. Let's apply it over here. And now you're building a lot more methodically and systematically. And it's just my whole goal. The reason that I'm so excited about this is because I have such a heart for franchisees that if I can find 1% somewhere and take it and bring it to their bottom line, I'm super happy. So the whole goal that I have is to reduce friction for franchisees so that they can concentrate on going and doing the core of their business to put more money in that bottom line and help achieve the dreams that franchising can bring.
You hit on something I think is tends to be a really huge thing in franchising, but also hidden buying power, right? So Talk a little bit about maybe if you can, I know I'm putting you on the spot with this question, but an example or two of how the buying power really is going to now get passed on to that franchise owner. Like you said, it's adding to the margin, adding to the bottom line.
So imagine you are a business, and you have one location and you're hiring a company to do SEO or search engine marketing, pay-per-click. You know, they might charge you $500 a month to maintain that and $10,000 to build a website, all this stuff. When you start saying, hey, not only do I have one brand with maybe 10 or 20 locations, I've got four with over 200 locations. So you get to like start shopping in a different pool, and what costs somebody $500 or $1,000 a month, you're getting for $200, $250, and you're getting more value because they're taking. So that's just a small example when you're talking about just even building a portal for your franchisees to purchase apparel. You're just continue to drive down that cost because of volume, and that immediately gets passed on. And what's really cool is a franchisee who's just opening, you get the buying power as if you're like have 50 locations. So it is really neat that that starts to pass that along, and the national relationships, like there's a lot of advantages to buying a franchise without being in a platform, but it only just exponentially grows those reasons when you're inside of a platform.
Yeah. And you talk about things like, you know, SEO and versus, okay, well, couldn't I just start up my own, you know, gutter business or home care? Yes, of course you can. Right. And maybe one day it'll be part of Evive. Right. So yes, that's possible, but you know, there are going to be people out there that don't know what SEO stands for. There might be a couple that don't know how to spell it. Right. And there certainly aren't SEO experts. Right. So it's not only what that cost is, but now Evive is sitting here going, we've got the cost down. We know this vendor, right? They know all of our brands. They're going to do a really good job because they don't want to lose all of this business, right? So it's also identifying who the best people are. And again, it just all of a sudden, poof, a website is up. Next thing you know, you're at the top of Google in your market because of all of those things from that buying power standpoint. So
absolutely.
Super cool. And then this may be kind of hard with the four brands. Was there any sort of common trait that you find across the different brands for your owners, or are they all really totally unique?
They're unique in where they come from. I mean, you have a lot of like corporate refugees where they're just like, you know, they've got it made from the outside looking in. You know, they've got the house, they've got the 401k. You know, car, like they go on vacations, but they're just unhappy. They're like, I want to build something for myself. And franchising is perfect in that sense because they don't have to go and risk it all to like start a deli that they make up the name and they don't know how to buy food or this. You name the business. So it really de-risks the startup. It's still not easy. You know, I haven't found a franchise that's just like, hey, give me the money and the money just starts pouring in.
Right.
You still need to give it a ton of effort, but you literally have a blueprint. So that could be IT, teacher, could be any walk of life that people are coming in. And then you also have the conversions. Somebody who might have owned a gutter business or, you know, did in-home care, but they just couldn't scale it. They couldn't figure out the secret to getting out of the hourglass. And that's where you see a lot of people who might have done something similar, but now are ready to, you know, learn how to scale. But what I have seen, so qualities, you know, it really just comes down to their personal leadership. If you're going to do anything that involves leading people, you have to be a good leader. And there's a quote, I didn't make it up, but I love it. A players don't work for B leaders.
Right.
Right? Simple as that. So when you're trying to recruit, are you saying, I can't keep anybody, nobody wants to work? I kind of go, that's a little bit of a reflection of your leadership. And I can't tell in the, you know, from the time, it's an interview process, it's dating. Franchising, when somebody's about to buy a franchise, it's like going on a date and everyone's on their best behavior.
Right.
You know, they're all smiling, everything's good, everyone can lead, everyone can do. But when the rubber hits the road, it's amazing how many people, like, their biggest challenge is their own ability to lead or hire properly or cut ties with somebody when it's the right time. Like, let somebody go. They're killing your business and your culture. So we spend a lot of time actually coaching franchisees on how to lead, because the systems are, you know, the systems, you can assume they're all, most franchises have good systems, right?
Right.
It's their ability to implement and do those systems. And then the next thing is just engagement and grit, right? So they got to have some leadership ability and engage in the system, meet with their coach, hop on the peer group, be part of the system. You didn't buy a franchise to hide out on the outskirts and only raise your hand when things get really bad. And then just having the grit. You know, I love what Mike Tyson says. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Right.
And I have not met a franchisee who has not gotten punched in the face in the first 3 months of owning a franchise.
Yes. Right.
Something will happen that was not to plan.
Well, and then that goes back to the engagement, right? So if you are, and again, I think this, I just had this happen not too long ago with one of our clients. He was about 6 months in and we were just chatting it, and he had talked about how he was participating in some area, like conversations with other owners in the brand, and how powerful that was for him because he was getting punched in the nose, right? It was in his first 6 months. It's hard, right?
It's hard.
And then he's talking to some other owners that have been around longer than him, and they're all doing the same, you know, like, yeah, dude, like, just hang in there. You're right. Like, you're doing everything the right way. It will get better. The light at the end of the tunnel is not a train coming at you, right? But just because he was engaged and he wasn't sitting in that island all by himself freaking out, he was doing all of the right things, but talking to other owners, people who have been, nobody knows better than other owners in your system because they've been there, they've done it. And then the tide will turn at some point where all of a sudden you're going to be on one of those calls and now there's somebody else 6 months in going, oh my gosh, this is...
And my biggest piece of advice is don't call the guy that's 6 months in as well. You call the person that's a year, they're 2 years in, because they might have the same pain. And I've seen that mistake in franchisees. They come to confirmation day, they might go to training at the same time, and then their sounding board is somebody who has zero experience like them, you know? And sometimes that can be discouraging because you're like, yeah, I'm feeling that too. Or yeah, I don't have enough leads. And then boom, that's not a good thing. You want to definitely, I say, you always want a mentor that is where you want to be, right? So if you find a franchise that's semi-passive or one that's 100%, you've got to be there every day, or you want to do $2 million in your first 2 years, like, your mentor is the person that's running their business similar to what you want someday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the positivity piece of that as well, right? If you want to just find somebody to like wallow in your misery, right? They're going to be somewhere, right? Yeah. Don't be that person either. You talk about a couple of things like with your, and certainly with Gutters, but in the home care space, you're looking for leaders, you're looking for owners. You're not necessarily looking for somebody to go in and take care of grandma all day. You're not looking for somebody to be on the ladder working with the Gutters all day. What level of experience is that? Does that matter to you guys at all?
Experience, no. Passion, yes. Right. So yeah, you don't buy a franchise to buy a job. Like, that's the one. If you're looking at a franchise where you are the system, you just bought a job and now you have 100 bosses instead of the one that you don't like. So I always believe that franchise, you know, the true thing is to teach somebody how to become semi-passive. And there are some semi-passive opportunities out there. They're not as semi-passive as most people like to believe, but I believe the goal in business is to become semi-passive. At the end of the day, you want to build something that when you go on vacation, it doesn't fall apart or it doesn't work when you're not there. So that is the goal. So back to your original question is, no, they don't have to have experience. We find in senior care, though, the best typically have had, they have compassion there, right? Yeah. So they had a bad experience with their loved one and they're like, no, there's got to be a better way. So I've seen in a senior care, it's a little bit more of a passion play than some of the home services are more kind of like a financial, and they can picture themselves doing it. So we do look for somebody that is empathetic. I mean, you're dealing with people. Yeah. This is not transactional as much as it's, yes, you're buying a business and you want to make money. But when you're having that awful conversation after your dad goes to rehab and he can no longer live by himself, you don't want a salesperson. You want somebody right. with empathy and compassion, right? So I would say, yes, we're looking for, I do love, there are some home runs that, you know, when people have led teams before, when they have built stuff in the past, when their experience, you believe will translate. But I have not, I've been wrong, probably more than I'm right, on picking the perfect franchisee. Like you're, man, this guy's going to crush it. And they don't. Yeah. And then the one that you think is like, I don't know if we should sell it to them. They're scared to death. And you have a conversation with them. Like, I don't know if this is right for you. They're like, no. And then they crush it. Yep. So there is a little bit of like you're having a couple dates and getting married. That's what franchising is. So.
Yeah. We use the dating analogy all the time with our clients. And I love cheesy analogies, but it really is that. And I think probably everybody in franchising has had the same thing. Like, oh, this person's going to be great. And then they're so-so. And this person, I'm not sure. And I think every franchise is going to say the same thing. We want somebody who's going to follow the plan, right? And some of the ones that feel like, oh my gosh, they're great, may also roll in there and go, that's cute. You have a plan, but I'm going to do it this way, right? And then are they going to adapt because they're going to get punched in the face, right? Because now they're completely off script, so to speak, right? Whereas the other person is just going to come in and put their head down and work. Like, oh, you got a resource over here? Yeah, let me tap into that. Oh, I've got coaching here. You bet your ass I'm going to tap into the coaching.
Yep.
And really just like, because again, it is, if there is a franchise out there, folks, that is telling you, oh my gosh, it's so easy. You're going to make so much money.
Let me know. I'll buy one too.
Yes. Right. So, and then, you know, after you do, call us in 6 months, let us know how that's going. But no, it is, it's going to be hard work. It's just finding that right fit. And you talk about leadership, I think between in-home care and placement. Like, yes, both of those, you have to, for lack of a better term, you have to give a damn, right? You have to genuinely care about people and making a difference. But that leadership component is also huge. Are you comfortable? Do you enjoy having a bigger team in home care, right? If somebody's a little skittish about that, maybe the placement is better for them because it's a significantly smaller team.
Yes.
Do you guys have, like, I'm guessing that comes up a lot as you're talking to folks trying to understand leadership, yes, but what do we want to lead? What kind of people we want to lead? That's going to factor a ton as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, your business will only grow as your capacity as a leader. Like, your business is a reflection of yourself. So when you're looking at the size of your business, the success, it's a reflection. But yes, for some people are like, you know what? I want to bet on myself. You know, what's really cool about assisted living locators is you can build that business to a certain point by yourself. You know, to really truly get the benefit, yes, you have to build a team. I've not really seen a franchise yet that I've liked that doesn't involve building a team. And I love creating opportunity for others. So the most successful franchises and the franchisees are the ones that are able to build out and trust people to run parts of the business. And it's so cool, like with the estate sales. Yeah, you could be a person that only does one estate sale a weekend and you do everything. Great. But that's you just created your ceiling in a franchise. And there are a couple people that are happy with that. And there are some people that only have capacity for that they can't figure out how to run multiple teams to do. And I'm not picking on them in particular, but you know, where you could then have two, three, four teams. Imagine doing three, four estate sales a weekend now because you've got leaders in place. And so that's the power of franchising. And that's the power of your personal leadership. The franchisee is typically the one that stunts their growth, not necessarily the system.
Right. Yeah, it is. And it's okay. It's almost counterintuitive for mentioned like with estate sales and there's the owner. It's just them. They're doing one a weekend. If that makes them happy, okay, then that's great. If they want more, they don't have to figure that out completely on their own. They just have to go back to the franchisor, their coach, their system, whoever within that organization that's going to go, okay, let's talk about what do you want? You want to do two? Do you want to do 10? Like you said, who's my mentor, right? Is the person that's doing it the way I want to do it. How do I follow their footsteps? And that's the whole point of this. So that's awesome. Talk a little bit about, we talked about the kind of the private equity side with Riverside. So maybe people that don't know how that factors in, how does that kind of backing help Evive and help the different franchisors in Evive?
So when you're thinking about private equity, they have tons of money. Let's just say there's unlimited amounts of resources. Their whole goal is that they want to try and triple whatever they invest, right? So if I say, hey, listen, we've got this cool program we can do for our franchisees. It costs $100,000. The answer is yes, as long as it can possibly bring in $300,000, right? So when you're improving a franchisee's bottom line by adding some more support or adding, you know, a way for them to increase their average sale. Like, so it is very much cause and effect. Like if, you know, if we're going to invest in a business, can we three times that? Same thing as flipping a house, right?
Right.
You don't want to flip a house to break even or lose money. So what's really cool is there's unlimited resources. We just have to find the best ways to maximize that. How do we get our franchisees that maybe have been doing it for 4 years and are stagnant? Is there more money for them? Can we get them to add another service? So it's a really cool way to look at, you have resources to do things, but we still have to come up with the best ways for them to get a return, the franchisee to get a return, and it should be a win-win.
Love it. So I want to kind of talk about a little different angle. Most of the time, our guests, we're talking about the specific franchise. We're talking to people who might want to become a franchise owner, but Evive is also looking to grow brands, right? So, so somebody's sitting out there, maybe they're, you know, like they have maybe a smaller, more emerging franchisor, or like Pete the plumber, man, Pete's plumbing business is awesome. How do I grow becoming a franchise? Talk a little bit about what that process is like, because you guys went through it with brothers, right? You started from scratch and next thing you know, you're a franchise. Next thing you know, now you are really kind of like the cause and the flagship of Evive Brands. Give people a little idea of what that process is like.
So typically the franchises that we're looking at, they're all in different states. So you might have somebody who had a great idea, sold a bunch of franchises and is like, barely keeping their head above water because they can't support them. It's a great business, great financials. Franchisees have success, but they literally like, they were good at, you know, it in the beginning and running the store. But as far as having 20, 30 franchisees, they're getting lost. So sometimes you'll see that, and that's a great opportunity for them to raise their hand, get the help, monetize, you know, what they've built, and then continue to see it expand. And then there's other people that this was the exit strategy all along. Is I didn't know, I had no clue when we franchised that there was companies that bought the whole franchise. We had a very embarrassing phone call early on with private equity. They were like, hey, we're interested in, you know, buying you or whatever. And I tried to set up a call with my brother for FranDev. Like, I thought they wanted to buy a franchise. I've got a few embarrassing stories, like just not knowing the business. So, and then there's some from day one, they're like, you know what? As soon as it's valued at 5 million, 10 million, you know, that's my exit strategy. And what's really cool about going with PE in particular in a platform that owners that want to exit, they can. You know, there are certain platforms, but I noticed throughout the process, some platforms don't necessarily care. They're not going to lower your valuation if the owner doesn't stay on. Because right. sometimes the owners have really, they've gotten themselves to the point where they're not able to lead it to the next place. And the ones that raise their hands say, I know that that's me. I've got it as far as I can, and I'll, you know, going to pivot. So I don't know if that answers your question totally, but as far as E5 brands, we're looking for anyone in that spectrum that might, you know, they might need a lot more help. They might need no help, but they just want to de-risk and say, hey, listen, I took some chips off the table. I'll continue to lead this brand and get it to the next level of their vision.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sometimes the emerging franchisors, their founder, it's their baby. They're very active in all aspects of the business, but then telling their franchise owners, don't be the doer, build a team, right? It's to maybe a little bit hypocritical, right? And yeah. if you don't do that early, same thing for a franchise owner, right? If you know with executive home care, right? So you can't just have one person with that. You've got to build a team. And I
have a team.
Guarantee you there's somebody in that system like, no, I can add that person later, right? And they're gonna hit a ceiling fast. There's gonna be all sorts of frustration. Then they have to go backwards to get to where they should have hired to begin with. And franchisors do the same thing, right? So again, yep. I think if you're one of those franchisors and you're listening to this and you're like, oh crap, they just described me. Well, this is maybe something we should take a look at. So,
I mean, I have a saying that, you know, I stole from somebody I interviewed years ago, but you have to be replaceable to be promotable, right? So you have to constantly replace yourself so that you can go to the next level. And I learned that too late. You know, I held on to every job or position I had in Brothers Gutters for way too long in hindsight. You know, I should not have stayed in the field as long as I did. I shouldn't have stayed in sales as long. I shouldn't have stayed a sales manager, general manager, the marketing person. I wore all those hats and I waited too long. As I matured and learned, my gosh, I love getting out of the way. And, you know, as soon as I can be replaceable, and that's where I got the Brothers too. So in order for Brothers to not fall apart, you know, in the acquisition with Riverside, I had to be replaceable. And right. I was able to accept the position as CEO because I already had my replacement in the business and trained for over a year.
Yeah.
And so that's what I believe, that's my message to franchisees is like, man, I want you to be able to, like Robert Kiyosaki defines a business owner as somebody that can leave their business for 3 to 6 months and it runs without them. If you can't do that, you're self-employed. Right. Nothing wrong. You know, again, employee, self-employed, business owner, there's no wrong or right. It just depends what you want.
Yep. And I think that's one of the beauties of franchise ownership is you get to decide what you want, right? The time you're spending, the money you're making, right? And if at whatever point you get and you're happy, then you can just kind of like keep rolling from there. But when what typically happens is people get stuck, right? I want more. I don't know how to get there. Well, that's why you have the franchise. You have an entire franchise system of people that are willing to help you be able to get there. Are you going to take the coaching? Are you going to, right? Are you going to follow the plan? Right? That's where it all always comes back to. So.
Yeah. And then I just want to make one point because, you know, as a franchisor, like I'm not happy when somebody just, let's pick on Gutters. If somebody just wants to have one truck, I'm not happy because they bought an entire territory that can do, let's say, multi-million dollars.
Right.
So if they're doing 250 a year, there's a huge amount of opportunity loss. So that's where like I'm making sure when we're looking at franchisees, do they have the capacity and the desire to at least maximize the territory? They don't have to buy three, but if you're right. going to buy one, and let's just say we think saturation's a million, 2 million, whatever it is, we definitely want to see them get there. It's okay if their journey's a little different, as long as they're not just sitting on territory for nothing. But yeah, there is a little bit of a give and take where we definitely, I can only sell Nashville once. I can only sell Atlanta once, right? So we want to make sure we're putting it in the care of franchisees who have the desire to see the potential.
Yep. It goes back to the kind of the dating process, right? Is understanding what you guys want in a franchise owner, the prospective franchise owner, is that what they want, right? It really, and again, it's what's crazy to me is how different franchises can be even when they're in the same industry, right? And so it's not, again, not a right or wrong. It's just what's out there and what's trying to find what's best for each person. So,
yeah, and I think there's over 3,000 franchises. So really do a big deep dive into your yourself. And there is a franchise for you, I would imagine, that would fit what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian, this has been fantastic. I want to kind of throw one last question at you. I know you're busy. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but is there anything we're missing today about eVive or maybe even something specific about one of the franchises that we've not talked about that you want to share?
I would just encourage anybody who's listening, really look at the brands in the eVive portfolio. If it's a fit, great. You know, we can start down that process to see if it's more of a fit. And if you happen to be a franchisor who's feeling like they're needing a little help or they want to exit and get to the next part of their journey, consider us as well for a platform. And Tim, thank you so much for having me on. As you could probably tell, I can talk all day, but I shouldn't.
That's rare for somebody in franchising to be able to talk. So
yeah, go figure.
Yeah, it's hey, I'm married to somebody in franchising. There's not a lot of silence around the house. So, but Ryan, it's super cool, man. I appreciate you coming on and joining us today. And hopefully we can let's get you back in a year and see how many more brands we've got under eVive.
I would love that. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very much. And thanks as always to our loyal podcast listeners for tuning in. We hope the Franchising 101 podcast continues to provide insight into the amazing possibilities that can be achieved as a franchise owner. When you are ready to schedule a call, and really, why wouldn't you be at this point? Come on now, let's go. Francoach.net, Franchising101podcast.net. That is how to reach us. Again, there's never, ever any fee for our service. We're here to help you. So reach out to us today. Let us help us create your better tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll talk with you soon.